talking again about out of Egypt. We've had two sermons on that. When things just can't get much worse, we're going to talk about that today, about how God interacted with his people and how he still is interacting today with his people. How many of you know that in this Bible, there are many stories? Some of these, like this, you think of Exodus. Oh, that's way back towards the beginning of the book, right after the index. Well, you're right, sort of. But it's a live story. It's a living story that's for us today. And the lessons that can be learned are rich for our lives. And we need to look at God's word and say, Lord, how does this work for me? How does this apply for my life? Today we're going to talk about what God did in the lives of the Israelites in Exodus. But we're going to talk mostly about what that means for us today. There's a verse I want to start with in Hebrews 10. And it's on the screen. It's a little small, but it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. How many of you know that God is not in the lip service? You know, talk, 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 talk. He's into the heart. He wants to know what we really think about him. So if we draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. How many here have been set free from your past? Amen. Only a few. Okay. Hopefully all of us, if you know Jesus, that would be a fact. And having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. If we just stopped right there today, that would be enough. Let us hold unswervingly, you know, not to the right, not to the left, but let us hold fast, strong, to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Wow. That should light your fire right there, if nothing else does today. He is faithful if we will just hold on to the truth of his word. Even in times when sometimes it doesn't seem like it's going to work for us, it's still true. And God says he is faithful because he is the promiser. So the story of Exodus is basically the story about a conflict between two gods, Pharaoh, who is a type of the devil, Satan, and God. The Lord and Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was involved in Egyptian religion, and Egyptian religion thought that Pharaoh was an incarnation of the god Re. So he was like a deity. He was like a god to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh was the king, you know, the most, at the time, most powerful nation on the earth, Egypt. And he questioned the power of the God of the Hebrews. After all, he had enslaved the Hebrews 430 years. How could their God be so powerful if Pharaoh could keep God's people enslaved for 430 years? It's a logical thing in human logic. Then God sent the 10 plagues, and that was the Lord's way of showing his people that he was more powerful than all the gods of Egypt. And it's interesting that God picked certain plagues. You say, well, God, if you read on here into Exodus, it talks about the plague of the locusts and the gnats and the blood and you know, the Nile River and frogs and all this stuff. And you think, why would you pick those? But those were deities that the Egyptians worshipped. They worship frogs. They worship cows. They worship the Nile, you know? So when God says, okay, you like them as gods, you're going to get plenty of them. Boom, frogs everywhere. I was reading in there, and it said that when God finally killed off all the frogs, when Pharaoh said, okay, you can go, and of course he lied and changed his mind, but it said they heaped up these piles of frogs everywhere, and there was a stench across the land. I can't imagine. If we had a 3D Bible or a scratch and sniff Bible, frogs, ooh, you know, rotten frogs. I can't imagine, you know, piles of frogs this high in the sun in Egypt. Anyways, that's just me. I'm sorry. I think of weird stuff. But he used those. He's saying, Pharaoh, you think your gods are something? Here's a pile of frogs. I love it. It was no mistake that God targeted these guys, these as a focus, because he wanted to show to his people and prove for himself once and for all that, look, the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites, is the one and only, the real, the Echtachot, the real God. And because he wanted them to be able to talk about it for generations to come, for generations to come. Are we not the ones that came after? We're still talking about it today. He wanted them to know, our God is faithful. Our God is greater. And it's still the same. Over evil, over bondage, over persecution. There was a quote, I think it's anonymous, but I don't know. It says, those who walk with God always reach their destination. Those who walk with God always reach their destination. How many would say, I agree? You agree with that? This isn't a test, by the way. You can't flunk. You can't get a gold star either, but in God, there is always triumph. We know that. Always triumph. But sometimes to get there, you have to walk through a lot of mud. The destination may be in front of us, but sometimes it's just like a movie, you know, where they've got to get over, you know, like the Lord of the Rings, for instance. I've got to go way over there to get this, and I've got to go through all this stuff to get there. But God says the destination is clear, but you got to go through mud to get there sometimes. Hebrews 10, 32. I like this version. It's in the Message. By the way, we do have Bibles in the back. €5 if you want an English Bible. I think they're NIV. But Message version I like. It says, remember those early days after you first saw the light? Meaning you came to Christ. Those were the hard times. Kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you and other days your friends. How many of you remember when you first accepted Christ, you wanted to tell everybody? I hope. And sometimes, and you're thinking, this is so good, everyone's going to want to hear. Right? And then you find out, oh, bang goes the door. You know, just like Keith talking about handing a flyer to someone on the street. And he said, they weren't pleased. You know, oh, you want this, don't you? No. But, you know, when we're freshly saved, we're so excited about the things of God. And we want to tell everybody. And that's a good thing. Kicked around in public, sometimes people won't accept you. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile. Go ahead, take the TV too. Knowing that they couldn't touch your real treasure, right? Heaven. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. Sure. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan. So you'll be there for the promised completion. I like the way that reads. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. Anyone here not a quitter today? I don't give up easy. I don't know about you. I've always been stubborn. Maybe it's my Dutch-German heritage. I don't like to give up easy. And just like, you know, we started this whole thing, and Steve can tell you, you start raising money for coming here because we have to raise all our support in the U.S., you know. And when you realize that not everyone is excited about that like you are, and you realize that people actually don't answer their phones when you call. And you realize that people make promises they don't keep. And these are churches, by the way. And you realize that, but you just have to say, bless God. Bless them anyway, Lord. If you call me to do this, I'm going to do it. It may take a year and a half. I may have to make 30 phone calls a day and only talk to one person. Bless God, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And sometimes those things are discouraged. But no, you want to be a quitter? Or do you want to do what God has for you? We'll stay with it and survive. We'll trust all the way. I don't want to be a quitter. And this thing called Christianity, unfortunately, has a big role of quitters. And I would like to think that everyone in this room today, I'm going to see in heaven someday, which is a good sign that things are going well. But I also know in a room like this, there will be some that will fall away. And that's really sad. Because we can put our trust in things and men, or we can put our trust in God. We can look at our circumstances and we can be defeated, or we can look at the answer and be exalted. You know, here's the thing. If God made it so easy by always making things perfect for us, we would probably never, ever learn to trust Him. I mean, it doesn't take faith to do something if you already have what faith would have required. You know what I mean? Like he says in Hebrews, faith is assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things you can't yet see. That's what faith is all about. Believing in something you can't, you know, it's not tangible. But you know that you know that you know it's still a fact. And that's what faith is. See, we would never learn to trust Him when we become easily discouraged every time something didn't go the way we liked. We're pretty much big babies, aren't we? I think with God, He's got to look at us and go, oh, man. You know, if you've been in a restaurant and there's a kid running around and stuff, and you say, where are their parents? You're like, and the kid's throwing a fit. You know, can you imagine how God, though, thinks of us? He looks down, and we're on the floor, kicking our feet, hitting our arms. But God, you said, God, you know, but God, you know, all this stuff. God, you said, where's my wife? I need a wife. Or where's my, you know, all these things. I'm not saying that for the single guys, if you're here. But, you know, but you hear this stuff about you know, people get so desperate, and they throw fits. And God says, why don't you learn to trust me? Why don't you seek me and let me, draw near to me, you know? God says, you wonder why you don't have anything, because you don't seek me. You don't live for me. But, you know, Christianity is not for wimps. Anyone say amen?
Amen.
It's not for wimps. Wimps. Does that translate? Lord is wimp. What does that mean in Dutch? Wimp. I don't know either. It's wimp is what it means. Anyways. But it's not for wimps. The road to life is promised to be laid before us. But sometimes the road has lots of potholes, lots of dremples, lots of bumps.
Meeches?
Meeches. Neat for meeches. Okay, neat for meeches. Has a ring to it. Okay. So believers that encounter difficulties and persecution for their faith and become disillusioned, become disappointed. Well, listen up. People that become disillusioned and discouraged in their faith, you'll either become like this. You'll either look for God that much more intensely because you'll see the troubles and you'll look to Him for the answers. Or you will become lukewarm, you know, just kind of apathetic. Kind of Christian by name. Kind of like if you go up to someone, do you know Jesus? Well, I go to so-and-so church. Oh, really? But do you know Jesus? Well, my parents were believers. Okay. Do you know Jesus? Well, I was baptized as a baby. Do you know Jesus? You know, we got all the subliminal answers that are just synthetics. There's only one real one. Do you know Jesus? Yes, I've asked Christ into my life. He's forgiven me of my sin, and I'm living for Him. Yay! That's what I'm asking about. Or you can become lukewarm and stay religious, or you're going to walk away from your faith altogether. Luke 9, 61, 62 says this. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. This thing called Christianity, faith in Jesus Christ, requires something of us. You know, remember Lot's wife coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah? She looked back with regret. God turned her to salt. Because she really didn't want to follow God. She was more interested in what was going back in the land of sin. And God says, no. If you put your hand to the plow and you have regrets about serving me, it's not good. You're not fit for the things of the kingdom. Salvation is free, but repentance and trust are our decisions. Salvation is a free gift. Gratis is good. Okay? Salvation is a free gift. But we've got to choose to repent. You know, saying the magic potion words, Jesus, come into my heart, make me a new person. Thank you, amen. You know, and you're out of here. It's not good enough. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, there's crud in my life that I'm not proud of, and I want you to change me. Change me, Lord. Sincerity, brokenness, and a decision to follow after Christ. Jesus can save us, but he requires our lives from us. We've been bought with a price, a precious price of the blood of Christ on the cross. In Corinthians 6:19, it's not on the screen, but it says, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. We aren't our own boss anymore, folks. God paid the price, and he's got the receipt to prove it. The cross, it's written in red, paid for, boom, stamped and sealed. See, the Israelites had been led, had been told by Moses and Aaron that God was going to deliver them from all this bondage, 430 years. And the initial response of the Israelites was what? They bowed down and they began to worship God. They had a party. Yeah, victory in Jesus, my Savior. You know, they were, you know, cooking the calves. I mean, they were having a party. And everything was good. Oh, happy day, you know. Pharaoh looks like a monkey and he smells like one too, you know. Boo, boo. You know, they were all excited. We're going to get out of Egypt. But then all hell broke loose. I mean, it broke loose. It's like Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and they give him the plan from God. And it's like we said earlier, you know, when you first get saved, you think everyone wants to hear. Well, Pharaoh didn't care. He said, all I care about is you guys make more bricks. And we're going to read about it here in a second. Because when all hell breaks loose in our life, you know, we can know the word. And we could say, here's something we could say. You get saved and you're told, you know, how all things become new. And everything is going to be okay. You have a fresh start, forgiven, that God has plans and purposes for you specifically. You're told how victorious he is, and that you have now become a child of the king, so now you're victorious as well, joint heirs. This is true. Then everything that you walked out from under is seen sometimes just to come back and smack you in the face, even worse than it came before. And you go, wait a minute. Old things are passed away. All things are now become new. I'm a child of the king. I have authority over the enemy. I can say this. I know. But why is this happening to me? Things do happen to good people. Bad things can happen to good people. The Israelites experienced a major setback to their victory party, and the first thing they did was what? Stop worshiping and begin complaining. They went from praise to defeat. See, we can say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. When you're worried about something, you can say that. And the devil would say, is that so? Let's see how you hold up under a new disappointment. Take this. Or you say, Jesus said, by his stripes that I am healed. And the devil says, is that so? Well, you know what? I just sent a devil of cancer on your brother. Are you going to praise God now? Or maybe you say, Jesus is my provider. It says this in Philippians 4:19. It says, and my God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And the devil says, is that so? Well, I'm going to see to it that your car breaks down tomorrow. It's going to need $2,000 of motor work. Is that so? How do we respond? Is God still God? I hope so. Does God still provide? Yeah. Can you have setbacks and still love God? I think so. I hope so. There are many things that come in this life that will attempt to shake our faith, to rattle our boat, you know? But God is still God in good times as well as troubled times. Exodus, we'll read about it. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, because they went to the Israelites and said, here's what God says, you in with us. Okay, we're going to Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh, and they told him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness. Is that so? Retorted Pharaoh. And who is this Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. I will not let Israel go. There you go. New believers, you know, hey, you know, Lord, here's what I think. But Aaron and Moses persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us, they declared. So let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with a plague or with the sword. And Pharaoh replied, Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their tasks, their work? Get back to work. Look, there are many people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work. So that same day, Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and Israelite foremen. Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves. But still require them to make the same number of bricks as they always did before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they are crying out. Let us go and offer our sacrifices to our God. Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies. So much for the victory party. Remember, stakes here are high. God's got something on the line. He's given his word. But yet, when God gave his word, the outcome wasn't as expected. It's not about the Hebrews. It's a showdown. And a showdown with Pharaoh as Satan, representing the power of darkness who wants to take captive. We know everyone who doesn't know the redemptive power of Christ. It was a showdown. And those who would experience it were going to tell it to the next generation if God showed up. God knew it. But God knew he was going to have to make such a declaration that these people would never, ever forget that their God was bigger than any of the gods of Pharaoh. They were going to tell the next generation, God is not immune to the needs and cries of his people, and God is more than powerful and enough to deliver them from the worst of difficulties and times. You know, he's interested in perfecting us, isn't he? The Bible says he considers us children, and he says, like a good father disciplines his kids, don't you think I've got to do the same for you? You have to learn. If I did everything for you, you wouldn't know how to stand when Satan came to you and lied to your face. You're going to have to believe that I can do the things I said I can do. You're going to have to believe that I'm your God. You're going to have to believe. And the only way you're really going to trust is by seeing me in action, and you're going to have to exercise your faith to believe it. Still the same today, folks. You can talk about Exodus, and we can look in hindsight. It's always easy to look in the rearview mirror and say, oh, look at this. They should have known better, blah, blah, blah. God was going to do it. They should have. Yeah, but what about in your situation when you are up against your Pharaoh? You think God's going to do it? Can you remember the story? Are you willing to tell it to the next generation? Will you have a story to tell of God's power in your life? I hope so. I like Pharaoh's response. Well, I don't like it, but the way he said it, is it so? Is that so? You say these things. Is that so? Why should I believe in your God? Who is the Lord? Let's make it harder on them that believe. Cause them to sweat. Load them down. Make it tough. I remember, and I guess it's okay to share, Mark, about the job thing with. I remember a few weeks ago, Mark was telling me he had a new job, and he felt like the Lord told him to talk to this person about his faith. And he did. But then his employer called him and said, you can't do that. You're out. And I asked him, I remember saying, do you regret that? He goes, no, I feel good about it because I knew I was supposed to do it. But you know what? You can start a new job this week, right? The Lord is still the provider. You see, he went up against a Pharaoh, but Pharaoh lost because someone needed to hear the truth. In the process, God provides him, I bet, something better. So Moses goes back to the Lord. Because of this, he says, now look, all the Israelites are mad at me because they see me as the guy who got them in trouble. Now they have to do more work, Lord. It's not supposed to work this way. You're the deliverer. Now the Pharaoh says, they got to go find the straw as well as make the bricks. They're going to be up day and night. They're going to be loaded down so much they can't hardly survive. So he goes back to the Lord in Exodus 5:22, and he says this. And the Lord, he protests to the Lord. Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me ever since I came to... Why did you send me? He says, moan. Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people. And you have done nothing to rescue them. Hear Moses' heart here. It was blame God time. Ever blame God for something? I think we all have, if we've walked with God at all. Okay? It's easy to do. God, you're the big guy. You've got it all under control. How come you don't have this under control? My life is a mess. I'm not feeling good about this, and you're not showing up. What's up? God, it's God blame time. He was disappointed in God because his obedience to do what God had told him to do was bringing trouble instead of immediate success. So often we go, oh, God, like, waiter, God, we want God just to show up. Well, God, you said, where is it? Come on, anytime. I'm going to have a birthday here, God. Come on, anytime. You know? That's kind of our attitude. Moses didn't get immediate success. He didn't see God's deliverance. All he saw was more work, more trouble. So our tendency is to always blame God or others for our situations rather than to stand for God in the middle of a storm and still declare the victory and trust him with the outcome. God has told us in his word, folks, that we will encounter hard times as believers. This gospel that says you accept Christ and everything is just hunky-dory and la-la land is a lie. You are going to experience some big time issues. He's told us in his word that. And Satan is not about to let us stroll through the park. Oh, good. They got saved. Is that so? Well, let's see if they'll hold up under this one. Bam. He likes to do that. And you know what? I think God allows it sometimes because he wants to see how we're going to respond. He wants to see if we really believe he's going to do anything. If we're going to stand up under it and say, no, God's still good. Sorry, devil, you can do all you want to me. But I'm not going to deny him because he's still my deliverer. He's still my friend. He'll stick closer to me than a brother. He's going to be, if I have to go through trouble, he's going to be going through it with me. Okay? It's no stroll through the park. Satan will do all he can do to discourage and dissuade us from following Jesus, the giver of hope. And one of his tricks is to test us with a trial, of course. Especially after we make a decision to step it up for God. Have you ever made a decision to do something different for God that you've never done before? In other words, you want to get closer to God. You want to do more for God. And you make this decision, I'm going to step out and get out of the boat and go do this. And all of a sudden, boom, you run into a wall. Satan loves to come and discourage. He doesn't want anyone doing anything for God. He would be happy for a church like this if you just came on Sunday and sat there and had a little flip chart. Well, the sermon day, that was a 5, that was a 7, you know, like in sports. You know, and then you would leave and come back maybe next week. God is not into that, but Satan loves that because we do nothing but take up chairs and we call ourselves a church. God says, no, my people will do things. My people who are called by my name can move mountains. My people who know me will do mighty exploits. So Satan hates it when we step up and we try to do something with our salvation. Why? Because it damages his kingdom. Remember, he is the prince of this world. The prince of the power there of this world. Moses experienced discouragement when Satan didn't cooperate, and he assumed that meant failure because he was taking so much heat. You know, in Acts 14, 22, it says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So, God, why do you have to make it so tough? It's not that God wants to make it tough. God wants to know who true believers are. God wants to know who are really his. If we're just in it for the ride and for the provision, or if we're in it because we love him. As believers, we need to know that we've been targeted by a fallen world system and we just don't fit anymore. Sorry, guys. If you try to walk around in the world and behave as the world and try to be a Christian, there's going to be a problem. It doesn't fit anymore. And if it does fit, then you have another problem. It's called not really living for him. But you're not going to fit anymore. Jesus said that when we choose to follow him, that we will be persecuted and that it should not come as any surprise. If we remain faithful to Jesus, his word, and his ways, we can expect trouble. John 16:33 says this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace. He's saying, okay, you're going to hear something bad, but understand there's peace in the storm. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome this world. So he's saying, don't lose heart just because you run into difficulties. You have some peace here, and I'm going to provide it because I've overcome. But you stick close to me, and you'll see me depart the waters. You'll see me bring the frogs. You'll see me do the things I need to do to accomplish my will. In Romans 8:17, you don't have it on the screen, but it talks about us being co-heirs with Christ, co-heirs with the kingdom ruler. If indeed we share in his sufferings, the Bible says. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:12, says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you don't want persecution in Christ, just don't live a godly life. And the enemy, Pharaoh, Satan, devil, whatever, will be happy with you too. Moses took God at his word. We need to take God at his word. It's already settled. There's no additions. There's no revisions coming out. You know, no updates from heaven. I mean, this is God's word. No sequel here. This is God's word. So Moses took God at his word and decided to obey him by confronting Pharaoh with God's word. God promised to deliver. But freedom seemed more unlikely than ever because things were getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And the people lost hope. They felt abandoned by God. They felt lied to by Moses and Aaron. You know, sometimes what is not happening can be just as frustrating as what just happened. In other words, where are you, God? How come this is going on now? Sometimes that's even more frustrating than the problem that you're facing. The problem that we have, oftentimes when there's a delay in receiving God's promise, we can forget who he is, or we deny the very promise that he's given us simply because it's not on our time. But God's timing is perfect. God knows exactly what we need when we need it. He also knows when he needs to build us a bridge to get across a river. God knows what's going to be best. Remember the verse in John 16:33, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So why does God allow us, his children, Christians, his chosen people, his heirs, us, the victorious ones, to go through such mud walking, to go through such hard times and struggles? Because he wants us to learn a lesson from our own Egypt experiences. He wants his deliverance and miracle-working power. These are often preceded by great difficulties. You don't need a miracle if you don't have a reason for one. It's kind of simple logic. 1 + 1 = 2. But when we're in a difficult situation, God can show himself big. Very often when you're in a situation that seems very discomforting, you can start looking for God to do a miracle. The difference between seeing a miracle or not is whether or not you're going to believe for one at that point. If you're going to trust God, and if you're going to pray to God and say, God, show me what you want me to learn, but make a way. Two, we learn from our Egypt experiences, perseverance to walk by faith in God and his word through tough times of disappointment. Tough times happen to good people. Tough times happen to Christians. The difference is, will we believe God, take him at his word, and trust him and still worship him, still throw the victory party even when we shouldn't, even when it looks like it's defeat, even when things are getting worse, we can still look up and says, yes, but my help draws close. My help is in Jesus. You know, it seems simple enough when people say, just believe. Just believe. When we're facing true adversity and we can be tempted to stop believing in God's goodness and to stop confessing his fullness and to slip into apathy. Hebrews 10:39 is a power verse. But we are not of those who draw back, but we are those who believe. We're not like them. We're not quitters. We're ones that stay in for the race to the end. Jesus is our rock of refuge and our fortress in times of difficulties. So, Hebrews 12:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Amen? How many could say, I'm going through times right now that I can relate? Honesty. You know what? We're going to pray, but we're going to pray together as a church. I want you to stand. Might be good to stand anyway. Kind of separate your pants from your body a little bit. Y'all know what I mean. What we're going to do is we're going to pray together in some groups. And just some things I wrote down that maybe you might quicken you to pray about something specific. But what about the first days when you were saved? Have those things kind of gotten a little weak? Have you gotten a little apathetic? It's still a sure thing, you know. It's still a sure thing. Do you believe it's still a sure thing? Don't be a quitter. Trust. Maybe the enemy's been working on your trust and your faith, and he's telling you, is that so? And he's in your face. Is that so? I'm just going to make it harder for you then. Well, then what do you say? Bring it on. Are you going to keep going forward for God, or are you going to listen to his lie? If you're going through a situation, troubles that, like I said earlier, often precede a very great miracle of God in your life, welcome it as a chance for God to be mighty, that you might be able to pass it on to your children and others. Stories and situations from your life that you can share. Look what God has done for me, and he's going to do it for you too. Trust God to work things out. His timing, that's an issue, isn't it? Some of us here are impatient. We want immediate success, and we're tired of waiting. Maybe today you need to pray and say, God, not my will, yours. Your timing, not mine. You know what's best for me, and you know when it's best to happen. Don't draw back and quit. Continue. Persevere. Move forward. Maybe some of you are getting ridicule for your faith, and you have it's temptation to be quiet, temptation to kind of back in the corner and pretend you don't believe anymore. Bible says, don't shrink back. God will honor you. Hold fast your confession of faith because he is faithful.